Thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Kelly Beatty of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during August evenings. Before you head out, grab a folding chair or one of those reclining loungers so that you can lean back and look up without getting a sore neck. Take a long-sleeve shirt or a light blanket, too, in case it gets cool. And find a spot that's far away from bright lights with a clear view all around the horizon. Let's get started this month by taking a census of where all the bright planets are. You know, planet comes from the Greek word planetes, meaning to wander. And so, week by week, as the planets circle the Sun in their orbits and Earth in its orbit, the planets' positions gradually change with respect to the stars. So here's the situation, working our way outward from the Sun. Mercury, the innermost planet, is tough to spot even in the best of circumstances, but this month it's positioned too close to the Sun and hopelessly lost in its glare. Next month you'll have a chance to see it in the morning sky before dawn. Venus is also sun-swamped, though in the months ahead you'll see it reappear in the evening sky. Mars rises around 2 or 3 a.m., in view for only a few hours before dawn. For you early risers, you'll find it squeezed between the upraised club of Orion the Hunter and the horns of Taurus the Bull. Jupiter pops up sooner, rising in the east around midnight as August begins, and about 10 p.m. by month's end. That leaves us with Saturn, the last planet standing. You can find this ringed wonder in the evening sky, but you'll have to be quick. Watch where the Sun sets, and then, about an hour later, look to the left by 5 or 6 times the size of your fist at arm's length, and about 2 fists up from the horizon. That medium-bright star is Saturn. Now don't confuse it with the slightly brighter star Spica, which is 1 fist farther to the left in the constellation Virgo, the Maiden. Saturn is gradually sinking into the evening twilight, and these are the last few weeks to spot it before it makes an exit. Once it sets, you'll have to wait until Jupiter rises to get another eyeful of planet light. So let's concentrate on the stars instead. First, turn right from the sunset point so that you're facing roughly north. Once it starts to get really dark, you'll see the Big Dipper hanging from its handle about halfway up. At the end of the handle are 4 stars forming its bowl. You'll find that your outstretched fist just covers the bowl. Now draw an imaginary line through the bottom pair of stars and follow it toward the upper right, past the lip of the bowl by about 3 fists until you reach a medium bright star. That's the North Star, called Polaris, and you're now looking due north. Now go back to the Big Dipper, and this time follow the arc of its handle up and to the left until 3 fists away you come to a really bright star. That's called Arcturus, and it's the alpha star of the constellation Bootes, the Plowman. Let's say that one together. Bootes. Got it? It's from the Greek words for plow and ox. Slide your gaze down and a bit left toward the southwest horizon, and you'll spot blue-white Spica and its temporary companion Saturn. Look further to the left from Spica and a bit higher up. By now it should be dark enough to see a medium bright star above the southern horizon. That's Antares, the heart of the constellation Scorpius. Antares means the rival of Mars, and you should be able to notice that this star isn't white like Spica, but slightly reddish. Antares is about a third as bright as Arcturus, but it'll look fainter than that because it's low in the sky and its light is dimmed while passing through all the haze and atmosphere. For those of us in the northern hemisphere, the closer we live to the equator, the higher up you'll see the Scorpion in the sky. Those of you in the southern states like Texas and Florida have much better views than I do way up here in Massachusetts. Shift your gaze to the left of Antares by a bit more than 2 fists. You're looking for a group of 8 medium bright stars in the shape of a teapot. The handle is on the left, and the spout, tipped down a bit, is on the right. Got it? The whole thing is about the size of your fist. From northern states and Europe, the teapot is only 1 or 2 fists above the horizon, so it helps if you look from a spot with a clear, unobstructed view toward the south. Now, when astronomers carved up the sky, they didn't call this the teapot constellation. Instead, you found the main stars of the constellation Sagittarius, the Archer, and you're looking toward the center of our home galaxy, the Milky Way. If you're lucky enough to live where the sky is really dark, or if you happen to be on vacation in a rural setting, you'll see puffs of steam coming up from the spout. Those puffs are the countless stars of the Milky Way, which continue upward until they arch overhead and clear across the summer sky. And if you're unlucky enough to live where light pollution is really bad, which is most of us, you can't see the Milky Way at all. In fact, ask yourself, have you ever seen the Milky Way in all its glory? If not, you really owe it to yourself to get out under a clear, deep black sky this time of year to see all those stars streaming upward across the sky like a great river of light. It's a sight you won't soon forget. Right now, astronomers are all abuzz about a spacecraft called Dawn, which just recently started orbiting an asteroid known as Vesta. In early August, Earth and Vesta are about as close as they ever get, which is still a long way, about 115 million miles, or roughly 500 times more distant than the Moon. You'll need binoculars or a small telescope to see Vesta, but I'll tell you where it is anyway. In late evening, look about three fists to the left of the teapot. That'll put you in the middle of the constellation Capricornus, a mythical creature that's half goat and half shark. Imagine what that must look like. But visually, Capricornus is nothing special, a bunch of faint stars, and Vesta is masquerading as one of them. And finally, August is well known as the month to watch for shooting stars from the Perseid meteor shower. This year, the Perseids will be at their peak on the nights of August 12th or 13th, but they'll be mooned out this year. The moon is full and shining very brightly from dusk until dawn. Only the very brightest Perseids will be obvious. But the show will be much better next year, I promise. For more information about all kinds of stargazing, including finder charts for tracking down Vesta, head to skyandtelescope.com. Next month, we'll go exploring in and around the summer triangle. Until then, I wish you clear skies.